for something to happen. And soon the thought crossed my mind that my failure to develop an appetite might be owing to the lack within me of this kind of literary reality. I felt as if I had become part of a badly written novel, that someone was taking me to task for being utterly unreal. And perhaps it was true. The phone finally rang just before 2 in the afternoon.
"Is this the Okada residence?"
asked an unfamiliar male voice. It was a young man's voice, low and smooth.
"Yes, it is," I answered, my voice somewhat tense.
"Block 2, number 26?
"That's right."
"This is the Omura off-license calling. Thank you for your continued patronage. I was just about to leave to collect payments, and I wanted to check to see if this was a good time for you."
"Payments?"
"Yes, sir. I have you down for 2 cases of beer and a case of juice."
"Oh, fine. I'll be at home for a while yet," I said, bringing our conversation to a close. After hanging up, I wondered whether that conversation had contained any information regarding Kumiko. But viewed from all possible angles, it had been nothing but a short, practical call from an off-license. I had ordered beer and juice from them, and they had delivered it. That was certain. Half an hour later, the fellow came to the door, and I paid for 2 cases of beer and a case of juice. The friendly young man smiled as he filled out the receipt.
"By the way, Mr. Okada, did you hear about the accident by the station this morning? About 9:30?
"Accident?" I asked with a shock. "Who was in an accident?"
"A little girl," he said. "Got run over by a reversing van. Badly hurt, too, I hear. I got there just after it happened. It's awful to see something like that first thing in the morning. Little kids scare the heck out of me. You can't see them in your rear-view mirror. You know the cleaners by the station? It happened right in front of his place. People park their bikes there and all these boxes are piled up. You can't see a thing."
After he left, I felt I couldn't stay in the house a minute longer. All of a sudden, the place felt hot and stuffy, dark and cramped. I put on my shoes and got out of there as fast as I could. I didn't even lock the door. I left the windows open and the kitchen light on. I wandered around the neighborhood, sucking on a lemon drop. As I replayed the words of the young off-license employee in my mind, it slowly dawned on me that I had left some clothes at the cleaners by the station. Kumiko's blouse and skirt. The ticket was in the house. But if I just went and asked for them, the man would probably let me have them. The neighborhood looked a little different. The people I passed on the street all had an unnatural, even artificial look. I examined each face as I walked by, and I wondered what kind of people these could be. What kind of houses did they live in? What kind of families did they have? What kind of lives did they lead? Did they sleep with women other than their wives? Or men other than their husbands? Were they happy? Did they know how unnatural and artificial they looked? Signs of the morning's accident were still visible outside the cleaners. On the ground, the police chalk line. Nearby, a few shoppers discussing the accident with grave expressions on their faces. Inside, the cleaner's shop looked the same as ever. The same black music machine played the same kind of mood music, while in the back an old-fashioned air conditioner roared along and clouds of steam rose from the iron to the ceiling. The song was Ebb Tide, Robert Maxwell, harp. I thought how wonderful it would be if I could go to the ocean. I imagined the smell of the beach and the sound of waves breaking on the shore, seagulls, ice-cold cans of beer. To the owner, I said only that I had forgotten my receipt. "I'm pretty sure I brought them in last Friday or Saturday, a blouse and a skirt."
"Okada. Okada," he said and flipped through the pages of a college notebook. "Sure, here it is, one blouse, one skirt. But Mrs. Okada picked them up already."
"She did?" I asked, taken aback.
Yesterday morning I distinctly remember handing them to her myself. I reckon she was on her way to work. Brought the receipt in, too.
I had no words to answer him with. I could only